His grace, right? His grace. I have a prayer in the scriptures again this morning, and we will see definitely God's grace in it. And God asks a question, which I think will be a question for all of us to ponder a bit. And we will see His grace and His mercy, that's for sure. And we're back in Solomon's prayer in chapter 3 of 1 Kings. And I was looking, and the last time we went through this was 8 years ago. I thought it was a couple of years ago. I said, well, we've just been through that, but maybe I'm thinking of the study through Kings. I don't know. But it's always good to look at His Word, and it always some new things seem to pop out or reinforce at any rate. And so the context is here in this particular chapter, Solomon has just taken over. David has died, and Solomon in chapter 2 has been instructed by David to take care of some loose ends which weren't taken care of, like with Joab and some of these, Shimei and some of these other people. And so now we move into chapter 3. And of course, one of the first things Solomon does is not really that great, but he makes a treaty and has Pharaoh's king's daughter become his wife. And of course, that's prohibited by the law to the Jews. That's what the pagans did. But trust in the Lord, not in treaties, and so this thing. But we then see he does some great things here. He goes up to the high place at Gibeon. Now, Gibeon apparently is that where Saul had his headquarters earlier on. It's pretty close to Jerusalem, but it's apparently a little bit higher, and maybe it's 5 miles, 7 miles away. And that is where the brazen altar was, and that is where the tabernacle was. It was not in Jerusalem at this point. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was in Jerusalem because David had moved that in, as we remember from Beth Shemesh area there sometime earlier. Now, Solomon goes up to this place and he gives 1,000 commitment offerings, burnt offerings. 1,000. I don't know how many times you've committed to the Lord, but I don't know if any of us have ever done it 1,000 times, certainly at one place. But notice what the response of the Lord is here as he has done this. The Lord appears to him in a dream by night in verse 5, and God said, this is the question for all of us, so pay attention, Phil. God said, ask, what shall I give you? Now think that through just a minute. God is asking you, what shall I give you? What do you really want? What do you really want? I'm sure you'll think maybe the first answer you have may be the right answer, may not be the right answer. You probably may have a question that is very timely right now, but it may not be so important downstream a ways. And I think before it's over, I think we will be reminded, I think what I really want is an obedient and loving heart more than anything else. Now, you might think, oh, I want salvation for my children, or what this and that. And those are all very important things, and maybe that's the most important thing to you. But God is saying, ask, what shall I give you? Now, Solomon responds, and it's a fairly long response here. And the bottom line here is, after the response, the speech pleased the Lord. Wow. Now, that's another big point for us today. How many of our prayers really please the Lord? So Solomon says, here's his answer to ask, what shall I give you? Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. What a great start. So he's talking about God being merciful, and he's talking about God blessing his father, but he also gives comment here that his father walked in truth, in righteousness, in uprightness of heart with you, and then praising him, you have continued this great kindness for him and have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now Solomon goes into quite a humility thing here, which is also glorious. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Now, is that my prayer normally? Am I really approaching the Lord that way, like I really am a little child not knowing what to do, or do I come in, Lord, here, I've got it all figured out. Now you do this, right? So he's showing humility here, it seems, doesn't it? And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. So he's thinking like a king here. This is good. So here's his request. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart. I like that. To judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. That's all good. But who is able to judge this great people of yours? So what he's asking for, God is going to give him. Now notice what he does not ask for, which he really should have asked for, that I would have an obedient heart. Because he's going to fall away through disobedience and turn against the Lord with all these women. So I think I need to be careful in what I really am asking. Is it so I can be better at something? So I can be a better discerner, a better judge of people, or better giving advice or whatever? Or is it something more than that? That I would finish well, right? That I would not be disobedient and be drawn away into something else. At any rate, here's what the Lord thought of this speech in verse 10. The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. So again, as I mentioned earlier, how many of my prayers, how many of our prayers are really pleasing to the Lord? Then God said to him, now here's the grace coming in. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, or riches for yourself, or for the life of your enemies, do away with all my enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. So behold, I have done according to your word. See, listen to this. See, I've given you, here's the grace, right? And just think when we read he's given, and just think what he's given you. What has he given me? Mercy forever. He's given us grace. He's given us eternal life. So much more than we even thought about asking for. Behold, I have done according to your word. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart so that there has not been anyone like you, I said. And I have also given you what you have not asked for. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I have given you also what you have not asked for. I have given you both riches and honor so that there shall not be anyone like you among all the kings of your days. Now, he gives Solomon more wisdom than any king has ever had or ever will have. He's not giving him more riches necessarily than any king has ever had or any will have, but he says during your days. Now, keep in mind, within about 45 years of this very date, all of the gold will be taken out of the temple. And it's done. It's over with. In 45 years, this is such a high point here, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, and we think, oh, if I just had wisdom, man, everything would be fine from forever, right? If I just had the wisdom of Solomon. So we can think some of these things through a little bit, at least gives me thought for food for thought here at any rate. And I've also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings of your days. But now here's the condition. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked. So just do like your dad did. You don't have to do more. If you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. So now we see Solomon doing one more thing, which is really great. Verse 15, then Solomon awoke. Indeed, it had been a dream. And what? He came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant. Now, he's doing a wonderful thing here. It seems to me he recognizes how important Jerusalem is, and he's recognizing how important the Ark of the Covenant is, and he comes back really to say thank you. I think that's what he's doing here with burnt offerings and peace offerings, and then a feast for all the people, or actually for his servants. So we see here, and he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, offered up burnt offerings, offered up peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. So this is what we wanted to look at today, and just in review, we want to be thinking about what we would respond with the Lord. He asks us, what shall I give you? And we should remember our prayers. Some of them, anyway, should be really pleasing to the Lord, right? Because it pleased the Lord. And we should remember his grace, of course, always. He's given us what we haven't even asked for. And then there is the obedient requirement here. If we do as he asks us to do in keeping his word, then he will bless us. And we also want to remember to say thank you. Father, as we thank you for this time together as a little family, and always good to be in your word. And Lord, help us now as we would come to you, pray together for a few moments, and help us to listen, help us to hear you, Holy Spirit, as you would put things in our hearts that we should bring to you, bring out in the open in a way here. So help us to redeem these moments together. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Fill us with your Spirit and lead us. Father, I thank you for the reminder in this passage. Just thinking of the time. It seems like we have plenty of time, and every day is going to be the same. But in 45 years from this date, when Solomon would be the richest king in the world, the temple would be completed shortly. But in 45 years from this date, all the riches taken away. Shishak comes in from Egypt and takes all the gold, and the glory days of Israel are over. After you had given everything to them, you've given everything to us, but in a much greater way eternally. And Lord, even just thinking back, it was 8 years ago when we went through this the last time, and how fast that has been, and thinking ahead, not in a doomsday kind of a thing, but in a glorious day of being with you. How many of us will be here in another 8 years from now? Probably not very many. So Lord, it's now is the time to get right. Is there any little hanging things there that are we're allowing to go on that aren't right, that we know we should cut out, that we still allow to come into our lives, and we know better, but we are not fastidious enough, and just out of love, and to think of you on the cross, and to think of even going to the cross, to think of even the Garden of Gethsemane and the prayers there, and sweating great drops of blood, not because of fearing, really, I don't think the physical side, but it was knowing what taking the wrath of you, Lord, the wrath of God for our sin, what a big thing that was, and how can I think of that and continue to sin? And I think of Solomon, how could you? And it's nothing. He didn't have half the things that he's given us, that you've given us. You've given us the Messiah. You've given us the victory over death. You've given us the promise of eternal life for sure, even demonstrating it in ascending to heaven. So you've withheld nothing from us. You've given us the whole counsel of God. And so we are without defense, Lord, of any kind. And so, Lord, I look forward to that last breath. I look forward to that glorious day. But that's at your schedule, not ours. And so until that day, help us to honor you. Help us to be thankful, Lord. Help us just to sense your grace in more full ways, Lord, and your infinite love for us in more full ways, in fuller ways, Lord. And to reflect that in our lives. I pray for myself on that, Lord, and for the body of Christ as it would apply. In Jesus' name. I thank you for this little group, Lord. I thank you for allowing us to meet year after year with no resistance, with no hindrances. You have not caused anything to hinder our prayers. And you never will. And no matter what happens from the outside, that cannot stop that complete openness of you to us. The veil has been rent. The way is open. Provision has been made. We have that access. Oh, Lord, help us to relish in that to a greater degree, that would be so inviting to those who do not have that yet. That they would see that in us and would want you. Pray in Jesus' name. Well, before we close today, I just wanted to ask that we be praying for this nation, particularly with in mind what's happening, you know, all through history, the enemy has feared the unitedness between Christianity and Israel. And that's being threatened now like never before. Barbara even mentioned a little bit about Tucker Carlson and that kind of a thing. The anti-Semitism is just growing tremendously in this nation. And if the Marxists who hate Christianity, who hate freedom, they're trying to align with Islam, who hates Christians, who hates Israel, right? And you see that gaining traction around the world in a big way. And we have been, the United States in the past has had enough godliness to offset that. But our godliness has dropped so much now that because primarily the church is so weak, that we've adopted that. You look at what's happening in New York right now with Mandami, where now Islamic prayers are being broadcast throughout the city in Arabic every day. And it's also, you know, Islam has been buying up property in Texas, in New Jersey, in other places to have their whole thing. So we're making great inroads, and you say, well, what's that have to do with us? Well, We just need to pray, and we pray for the government, but it's not the government. The government actually has been doing a great job this last year. Just think of how much has been happening right. But we don't have the support of enough of the people. I think we have a greater number of believers in the government than we do in the voters right now, right? Because the voters' apathy and there's some great things happening, I understand, with the youth on the campuses. But the campuses are so far gone that most of the kids, I mean, they're kids coming out of, you know, they come out of classroom and they go out on the campus and they're against ICE, right? They don't even know what they're talking about. And that's this whole protest kind of a thing that is going forward. So where does that bring us? Well, it brings us back to pray against the evil, pray that the church would stand strong, and we need to pray for Israel. We do notice in the Bible, as you well know, the United States isn't shown at the end. And who is honored at the end of the nations are those that stand for Israel. And so as long as U.S. stands for Israel, it'll be honored. And when they turn their back on Israel, and you see the anti-Semitism rising. What does that rising mean? It means they're turning against Israel, right? So we need to pray against that. And I mean, you know all these things, but I just think that sometimes we think it's them, it's the schools, it's the government, they need to get right. Yes, in a way, but it's the parents who need to teach the kids, not the schools. You can't have the spiritual component coming from the schools. It never has been, never will, really. I mean, you can say, well, it sure changed in my lifetime. Yes, but it's still the parents' responsibility. So the marriage has been just absolutely destroyed in this nation, for the most part. And the, you know, on down the list, the press and all is so woke, you know. So that's where we are. But it's an exciting time, isn't it, too, because we're getting closer and closer to that end. And will he find faith in us when he returns? And the answer is no to too many, but how about in you? How about in me? And how are we going to finish? Because we talked a lot about this morning about finishing well, because most of us are on our last lap, maybe the last quarter, we don't know. But we want to finish well, right? So we're all in agreement on that. So let's just close with, I had this song on grace. Well, maybe we'll sing a couple of songs here really quick. And then Trust and Obey, I think we could sing that one too, because we've had that. That has kind of been one of the things we've talked about here this morning, trusting and obeying. Okay, see if I can play it here. Trust and Obey. Let's just sing this from the heart. Father, thank you, Lord, for the message. Pretty clear. Trust and obey. And we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And Lord, help us to finish well. Bless each one here. And may you shine through each one today, Lord. And people would just be drawn to you as they see us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.